Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
So, good evening, everyone. I'm a little nervous. I feel a little out of my comfort zone, but I'm honored. I'm honored to be here with you and to be able to be of service and to present this information about Manjushri. I want to tell you a reason why I picked this topic. A little while ago, maybe about perhaps like 2 months, one of our students, Christine Cullen, she actually mentioned Manjushri. Donan was doing one of his teachings, and I don't remember the specifics, but I think he brought Manjushri it kind of like awakened my curiosity about Manjushri. And then when Sensei sent us the email with the list of topics, I remember Manjushri being at the very bottom of the list. And I said, let me look into Manjushri and see what Manjushri has to offer to all of us. The other reason why I picked Manjushri is because in Soto Zen Buddhism, we aspire to the Bodhisattva ideal. And when we enter this path and we embrace this practice, we do it not only for our liberation, but to also be a guide for everybody who wants to join us, who wants to walk this path. So I think that Manjushri was definitely a topic that we could explore tonight. We also know that Manjushri is one of the four great bodhisattvas, along with Avalokiteshvara, which we have here. And she represented compassion and love metta. Siddhigarbha, better known in our community, actually, it's our patron, Jizo, and Jizo is the protector of women, children, and travelers. And Samantabhadra, associated with practice and meditation. So Manjushri is the bodhisattva that represents clear seeing and wisdom. He's representing by holding a flame sword in his right hand, and this sword kills or cuts through delusion, ignorance, and duality. On his left hand, he yields the stem of the lotus flower, which bears a book, the perfection of wisdom teachings, the great wisdom sutra or Prajna Paramita. And the central teaching in this sutra is sunyata, and sunyata or emptiness of self nature in all things. In all things, which is, you know, such a difficult concept to practice and grasp and understand. Manjushri also teaches that wisdom must be coupled with compassion. He's either seeing, sitting on the lotus flower on a moon disc or riding a lion. The scripture on the lotus flower symbolizes wisdom as pure as a lotus, representing the purity and the potential of enlightenment arising from the muddy waters of ignorance. Manjushri is depicted as a male young prince. His youth represents purity and wisdom being innate and always available, not attained just by life experiences or studies. And I found this very interesting. I know that wisdom is something that as we age, I think we develop it more. But it's interesting to see and to understand that it's always there. Like our Buddha nature, its innate is there. We can tap into it at any moment. And actually last night when we had Sensei offering the Dharma discussion, Monica, who's here with us tonight, she mentioned, and it just stayed with me, but she mentioned that since her age of 17, she was drawn to mysticism and meditation. And she was quite young, you know, at age 17, I think not everybody starts tapping into that. So here we have an example. So Manjushri is sometimes pictured riding a lion to represent his princely nobility and fearlessness. It also represents the use of wisdom to tame the mind. The lion can be seen as the strength and courage in overcoming obstacles on the path to enlightenment. It also symbolizes Manjushri teaching the Dharma without fear. Many legends often say he is the master of seven Buddhas and all the mothers of Buddha. So when I read that, seven Buddhas, that kind of threw me off. I didn't really understand what that meant. So I went to one of the teachers in our community, who is my husband. So I have that advantage. I usually don't have that many advantages in life, so this is a good one. So I asked him for some clarity, and what he explained to me is that Buddhism cosmology says that there have been many Buddhas prior to the historical Sakyamuni Buddha. And we know that people sometimes talk about the future Buddha. And some people say that it's going to be a community or a sangha. It's also important to know that there are specialized forms of Manjushri, or what they call tantric forms, especially in Tibetan. I am not going to go through all of them because we don't have the time, but you know, if you want to explore more, you can read on it. So you can see Manjushri in different colors. Actually here it's in the red color. Sometimes you see Manjushri with two faces, four hands. Some other colors might be yellow, white. And there's also one that is like a black blue color. But the symbolism and the teachings are the same. Manjushri is identified as the oldest, that means like the earliest and most significant bodhisattva in Mahayana Buddhism literature. Yet he is often depicted as a beautiful youth of 16 in the prime of beginning of his manhood. Manjushri was popular in India by no later than the 4th century, so we go very back far. And by the 5th and the 6th century, he became one of the major figures of Mahayana iconography. The importance of his youth depiction remind us that Manjushri is the beginning of insight. Within his practice is also the ultimate completion of practice, as represented by the perfection of wisdom text in his hand. But the youth symbolism is vital, since most suffering humans, even the most advanced among us, could be said to be just at the beginning of understanding and insight. This actually also reminded me of when we talked about beginning mind. So, you know, I think it's important to know that, you know, that understanding and that insight, you know, it's always available, but we can always go in depth. He encourages us with his smiling, gentle face, the gentle friend as he is called by many, and his simple symbolism. Along with wisdom, Manjushri is associated with poetry, oratory, and writing. He is said to have a specially melodious voice. So as a bodhisattva, he has vowed not to enter nirvana, until all beings are saved, awakened, or enlightened. Zen teacher Taigen Daniel Leighton refers to Manjushri as the Bodhisattva of wisdom and insight, penetrating all things fundamental emptiness, universal sameness, and true nature. Manjushri, whose name means noble, gentle one, sees into the essence of each phenomenal event. Manjushri also appears in a number of scriptures or sutras, and to mention some of them, just the names, because again, we don't have time and I don't have the knowledge or the expertise. We have the Lotus Sutra, the Vimalakirti Sutra, and the Diamond Sutra. You know, as I was learning, reading about Manjushri, I felt that acquiring this understanding and this knowledge about Manjushri can assist us with expanding our understanding of emptiness, which is such a challenging concept to grasp and practice. And perhaps chanting his mantra can be instrumental in opening the window of wisdom so that we're able to move away from the intellect and perhaps access what is needed to embrace emptiness, no self. Early Mahayana texts called Prajna Paramita Sutra refer to Manjushri as the embodiment of transcendent wisdom. Vimala, a pure land assigned to him in the Lotus Sutra, is considered one of the two best pure lands that existed in the past, present, and future. Manjushri is considered a fully enlightened bodhisattva and is greatly respected and venerated as a meditational deity. One very important thing to remember, even though we're talking about all the great things that Manjushri can offer, he cannot give us answers. He grants us the process to find our own wisdom. This is the beginnings of wisdom and that first all important insight. And I think this should be familiar to all of us who practice Zen, because that's one of the first things that we learn when we come here. You know, we have the support of the Sangha, we hear the teachings, the wonderful teachings that our teachers offer us, but we know that we have to do what is necessary, that we have to walk this path. So it's the same with Manjushri. He especially helped us see through the delusion of duality. He served as an inspiration for those in the path of wisdom and enlightenment, encouraging the cultivation of insight and compassion in our spiritual journey. I'm gonna just talk a little bit about his mantras, since I have mentioned it and I have said that perhaps we can use it. And as I was getting myself prepared for this presentation, I did listen to his mantra, and I kind of like, you know, when I was driving, you can find it on YouTube. And it's a beautiful mantra. And the syllables go like this: Om, Ara, Pa, Sana, Ti. This mantra is believed to evoke wisdom and is called for clarity and understanding. And each syllable holds a significance, which I will go over. Om represents the essence of the universe, and we know that Om is the primordial sound. Ara pertains to the state of enlightenment. Pa symbolizes the wisdom of emptiness. Sana related to the profound knowledge of truth. And finally, Ti represents the wisdom of enlightenment. So what I was thinking was, when we are in situations that are very difficult and challenging in life, we know that chronic stress, anxiety, depression can really hold us back in the ability to see with clarity. And we also know that sound tends to have a very special effect in our nervous system. So perhaps if you feel blocked at some point, maybe you can rely on Manjushri's mantra. Maybe you can look it up, play it, and follow along, and perhaps it can help you. I know I will try it. Thank you so much. I hope this presentation has been of some understanding to you, and it has been my pleasure to be here with you tonight.